And we'll ask you to take your Bibles, turn over to the book of Isaiah, chapter 57. The book of Isaiah 57. While you turn there, we want to thank Brother Decker and this congregation for all the ways they've helped, and the wonderful food and the hospitality. I certainly love and appreciate your pastor. He's a great man of God. I'm reading Isaiah 57, verse number 15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. My message tonight deals with a subject, the bright and the dark side of eternity. There is a bright side of eternity. A lot of people, when they think of eternity, they only think about the dark side. There's a very bright side to eternity. And everything is pointing to the closing of time, when time and eternity meet. Even if Jesus don't come within the next 10 years, probably will, I don't know. But in 10 years from now, there'll be a lot of people that's here tonight will be in eternity. Some, we would be surprised if we knew the ones that's here that'll be in eternity within 10 years. The old Teasley said, I stood at the time-beaten portals where many a pilgrim had passed, out into the infinite future to be with the pure and the blessed. And in musing and silent devotion, eternity seemed to draw near. Strains from the choir of the faithful I seemed in my fancy to hear. I lingered and I silently listened to the dull, heavy tread of the years, and I thought of the fate of the guilty when Christ in his glory appears. A shudder came over my spirit as I thought what a moment might cost. For eternity's stillness was broken by the groans and the sighs of the lost. I saw then the judge in his splendor as he stepped to his great judgment seat. And I thought of the crashing of ages when time and eternity meet. For time, who has laid many millions to slumber at death's silent shade, shall reel at eternity's presence and sleep in the tomb he has made. Let us work while 'tis day, brother and sister, for soon shall the master return to garner the wheat that we harvest, the chaff in his fury to burn. Then in haste let us run to the rescue, but few can we save at the most. Soon millions will be at the judgment, forever eternally lost. Oh, eternity, long eternity. Hear the solemn footsteps of eternity. Dear souls, let us talk for a while about the light and the dark side of eternity. Oh, eternity without God. What a terrible thing that would be. Yet there are millions of souls that's approaching the dark side of eternity. Friend, it's at hand with so many. According to God's word, time will soon be no more. Time is running out. Everything is pointing to the closing of time, when time and eternity meet. Listen, friends, in eternity, we're not going to have any time to make preparations to meet God. Now's the time to make preparations to meet God. Time will be ended. The door of the mercy will be closed. We think about eternity. I thought tonight, how can I explain eternity? It's the most striking word in the English language. 1,000 years from right now, all of us is going to be alive. We're going to be conscious. 10,000 years from now, all of us here, we're going to be alive. You're on the bright side or the dark side of eternity. I don't know about you, but that's a serious thought. I'm going to be somewhere 10 million years from now. How can a man speak a word that takes in ages of time and all beyond it? Eternity. Oh, where are you going to be in eternity? What a solemn thought. What a solemn question. And the word becomes greater as we add the verse in Psalms 106:48. When the psalmist caught a glimpse of the nature of eternity, he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. Let all the people say amen. Praise ye the Lord." From vanishing point to vanishing point, there is an eternity. The vastness of this subject overwhelms our finite minds. We cannot comprehend it. Think of this fact. We only live on a little island, which we call time, which is bounded by two vast seas of eternity. Let your mind go back into the ending recesses of time, unending recesses of time. Then let your mind move into the future as far as you can imagine. And when your mind can go no farther, there's still eternity. Oh, the high and the lofty one, the Bible says, that inhabiteth eternity. Who inhabits eternity? Friend, it's God. He's infinite. He's eternal. He's unchangeable. Eternity is the place of God's abode. Answer me this question. Are you going to be on the bright side of eternity or the dark side of eternity? Someone said, where is eternity? Eternity begins when life ends. When your life ends, you're immediately in eternity, the bright side or the dark side. Right now, we're standing on the edge of a precipice of time. And we cry out, how long art thou, eternity? Eternity is a very long time. In the cemetery in Indiana, there's a tombstone that has an inscription with the intent to make people prepare for death. It says, consider, friend, as you pass by, as you are now, so once was I. As I am now, you shall soon be. So prepare, my friend, to follow me. Someone scratched another verse on the tombstone that says, to follow you is not my intent until I find out which way you went. The bright side of eternity. The bright side of eternity is heaven. Heaven is the blessed abode of the saved. That's where I'm headed by the grace of God. Oh, that's a bright, heaven's going to be a wonderful place. The dark side of eternity is there's a place called hell. It's not popular, but there's still a place called hell. To take away the doctrine of hell, then I must do away with the infallibility of the Bible. We must take away the deity of Christ. We must take away the blood atonement of Christ and our eternal hope of heaven. Those that try to do away with the horrors of hell also must do away with the hope of eternal heaven. If there is no hell, then there is no heaven. And there's no reason to preach any other doctrine in the Bible if the doctrine about hell is not true. The bright side of eternity is we're going to see Jesus. Oh, thank God for Jesus. A lot of these songs that I hear on the radio seem like people are more excited about a mansion they think they're going to have and walking on streets of gold, friend. None of that excites me. I just want to see Jesus. Amen. The greatest thrill that awaits us when we get there, and that's to see Jesus, the one that died for you and me, and live in his presence through all eternity. We'll sing forever with a trouble of or care. That's what heaven means to me, and I hope to meet you there. The dark side of eternity is in hell. You'll be forsaken by God throughout eternity. To be in a place where God has never been and God will never be. You'll become a forgotten people in a forgotten place. Everybody in hell will be forever abandoned by God, henceforth separated from God's love. And every opportunity for redemption is gone down in hell. The bright side of eternity is one state is unchangeable when we get to heaven. We're never going to leave. You can't backslide. When we get there, we'll be there forever. Amen. Throughout the ceaseless age of eternity. That's good news for the Christian, isn't it? Amen. The dark side of eternity is also the sinner's estate. Is unchangeable after death. That's bad news. Bible says in Revelation 22:11, and he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he that's filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that's righteous, let him be righteous still. He that's holy, let him be holy still. The bright side of eternity, I believe that there's a treasures awaiting the saints of God. That's the bright side of eternity. The only way to send treasures into heaven is to invest in things that's going there, like the souls of men. He said in Matthew 5, verse number 12, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. God's someday going to reward his people for their faithfulness, their service, their suffering, their soul winning, their loving and appearing, loving the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. The dark side of eternity is the only reward awaiting the sinner is death. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, it is eternal life. The bright side of eternity is there's no more death. Amen. We'll be alive and happy throughout the ceaseless ages of eternity. And the sting of death will never be felt again. Amen. Be no more funerals to attend. The dark side of eternity, yes, is the wages of sin is death. And I saw the great white throne and him that sat upon it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there's found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell was cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire, the bright side and the dark side of eternity. The bright side of eternity is heaven is a place of light. Heaven is a place where all night will have vanished away. But the dark side of eternity is hell's a place of darkness. There's a dark side to eternity. Oh, it's dark. No wonder the Bible says in 2 Peter 2, verse number 4, for if God spared not the angels in sin, but cast them down to hell and delivered them to the chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. Hell's a place of darkness. It's a place of death. It's a place of despair. It's a place of demons. The bright side of eternity is everything's going to be good. Everything's going to be enjoyable. Nothing disappointing in heaven. Think about that, friend. Somebody said, well, I get along pretty good, but I have a bad day. No, no bad days. Everything goes good. I was sitting at the table, some brother and sister brewer and some and people passing by and said, I didn't sleep last night. I laid this way and my back hurt and I turned the other way and my shoulder hurt and just couldn't get comfortable. No more nights like that. Because there is no nights. The dark side of eternity, there's not one thing good. There's not one thing good about a lost eternity. The bright side of eternity is everything is going to be gained. Amen. The Bible says in Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what shall I choose? I want none. For I'm in the strait betwixt two, having a desire to part and be with Christ, which is far better. Let me tell you something. Heaven's far better than anything that you got down here. Somebody said, I got the best car. I'm living in a fine mansion. I got millions of dollars. Oh, heaven's going to be better than that. Amen. Amen. The dark side of eternity is everything is loss. You lose everything. You gain absolutely nothing by going to a lost eternity. There's no gain in a lost eternity. You know what the bright side of eternity is? Heaven lasts forever. Amen. The sisters from Teen Challenge just told us about it. They said, when we've been there 10,000 years, that's a long time. I've been around here for 59 years. That seems like a long time. But I said, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we have no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Praise God, it's going to last forever. I can't comprehend that. Heaven's going to last forever. And heaven's sounding sweeter all the time. Seem like lately it's always on my mind. Someday I'm going to lay this old body down. Praise God, heaven's sounding pretty sweet. Oh, the dark side of eternity is, it's just like heaven that lasts forever and ever and ever and on, there's no end. Matthew 25:46, and these shall go away, where? Into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Let us distinctly understand that every blow struck against eternal punishment is an equally heavy blow against the eternity of the bliss. It's impossible to separate these two. No ingenious theologian definition can divide the eternity of heaven and the eternity of hell. They last the same amount of time. They stand or they fall together. We got modern preachers that says it doesn't last forever. If hell does not last forever, then heaven does not last forever. Because it's spoken of in the same chapter, in the same verse. The same language is used. The same figure of speech are employed. When the Bible speaks about either condition, heaven or hell, it lasts forever. Every attack on the duration of hell is also an attack on the duration of heaven. It is true that if we take away the fear of hell from sinners, then we've also taken away our hope of heaven. There's nothing that Satan desires more than we should believe that hell does not exist and that there's no such place as hell, no such things as eternal torment. Some said, I don't believe in it. It'll be as hot for you when you get there as if you believed in it all your life. The nature of eternity is permanent and unending. Notice, I try my best never to say, where will you spend eternity? Because you can't spend it. You might be a millionaire and spend all your money. You might have a month's vacation coming and spend it in Florida, but you cannot spend eternity. There'll never be a time when our souls are not alive. Whether you're saved or lost, your soul is going to live on. That soul that's within us is indestructible. The body may be destroyed, but 1 million years from right now, our souls will be alive. Even if the stars burn out and turn to smoldering ashes, after the mountains have crumbled to dust, and even if the sun and the moon fall from their sprockets, you and I will still be alive in eternity. There's no end to eternity. All who enter the afterlife without forgiveness and the mercy of Jesus Christ will be without forgiveness throughout the ceaseless ages of eternity. The bright side of eternity is no more pain. That's good, isn't it? Some of us right now, we got pain in our body. But there's not going to be no more headaches, no more toothaches, no more arthritis, no more diabetes, no more high blood pressure, no more low blood pressure, no high cholesterol, no high triglycerides, no heart attacks, no strokes, no cancer, no AIDS, no blindness, no eyeglasses, no deafness, no hearing aids, no cripples, no lameness, no wheelchairs, no crutches, no walking sticks, no more pain. The list goes on and on. Suffering will be ended. The dark side of eternity is its great suffering and pain. I don't want you to go there. I don't want you to be lost. Oh, the suffering. Oh, the misery. Oh, the pain. And nothing will be there to console the lost soul. All hope is gone forever. The silence of eternity, he said, is broken by the groans and the sighs of the lost. Many pilgrims passed out into an infinite future. Some have been, went on to be with the pure and the blessed. Many precious souls also have passed out into a very lost eternity. Oh, eternity there to be tormented forever. For everyone here could just hear the groans and the sighs of eternity, you'd run to this altar. If you could hear the groans and the sighs of lost souls in eternity, you would not rest till you found Jesus sweet to your soul. But souls are not heeding God's word, headed towards a burning hell. Serious, friend. It is serious. Luke 16:24, and he cried, he said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. I'm tormented in this flame. I can't stand this pain. I can't endure this pain anymore. Have mercy on me. Show me some mercy. Just send Lazarus, tell him to take his finger and dip it in water and take that finger and touch it to the end of my tongue. I'm thirsty. Not so. He had his opportunity, but he passed it by. The bright side of eternity. Heaven will surely be worth it all. Saints, don't give up. Heaven is going to be worth it all. Amen. Often I'm hindered on my way. Burdens so heavy, I almost fall. Then I hear Jesus sweetly say, heaven will surely be worth it all. Many of the trials and toils and tears, many heartaches may hear a pall. But the dear Lord so truly says, heaven will surely be worth it all. Toiling in pain I will endure till I shall hear the death angel call. Jesus has promised, and I'm sure heaven will surely be worth it all. Heaven will surely be worth it all. Worth all the sorrows that here befall. After this life, with all its strife, heaven will surely be worth it all. But oh, the dark side of eternity. The dark side of eternity. No pleasure in this life would be worth being lost eternally. I want you to listen to me. Not one soul, not one person in the dark side of eternity will wake up in hell and say, well, you know, all those pleasures I found in life is worth all this pain and torment I'm enduring. Not one soul will look back to this life and say, well, the fun I had is worth being eternity throughout the ceaseless suffering, pain, and anguish and torment. I tell you, friend, no matter what you're going through, no matter how much fun you're having, it's not worth the price that it's going to cost you to live in sin. Now I'll tell you something else. The dark side of eternity. The dark side of eternity is there's a whole bunch of folks going there that didn't know they was going there. You know, that's the darkest side as far as I'm concerned. Is the multitudes of people that's headed for a dark eternity, but they didn't have genuine religion. They didn't have genuine salvation. They had a counterfeit. You know what most of the world's got? Counterfeit religion, not genuine religion. Somebody said, how do you know that? Because the Bible says there is a way that seemeth right, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And no doubt in an audience this size, there's people that thinks they're all right when they're all wrong. There's a way that seems right. Jesus talked about it. And he said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord. He's talking about professing Christians. Right. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And then he goes on and says, listen to me, friend. Not a few, but he says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name we've cast out devils. In thy name we've done many wonderful works. But I will profess unto them, I never knew you. I want to ask you a question. Do you have real salvation? Do you have a real experience with Jesus Christ? For every good thing that God gives us, Satan attempts to create a counterfeit. God has given us good music, and Satan's created an industry that ruins the blessings of music. God has given us his word, and Satan tries to produce counterfeits with all the modern translations that take the blood out and take the scriptures out that talk about hell and damnation. When you think about a counterfeit, what do you think about? You think about money. You know how you can tell? You can tell by the look of it. You can tell by the feel of it. Now, I can't tell, but somebody that works at the bank, they handle the money all the time. They've learned how to tell by the way it feels, by the way it looks. Do you have a real experience with Jesus Christ? You see, Coca-Cola used to advertise, Coke is the real thing. Then a few years later, they changed the whole formula for their product, and they started saying, New Coke and Coca-Cola Classic. Apparently, it wasn't the real thing anymore. What about you? Do you have the real thing? This is too serious to guess about it and think about it. You got to know for sure that you got the right thing. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith, prove your own selves, and know your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. Now, I'm not your judge. And I'm not standing up here and saying who's saved and who's not saved. But I will tell you this. And you might say you're judging. No, I'm reporting. There's a difference in judging and reporting. I can tell you this. If there's not been a change in your life, you're not saved yet. That's how you can know. That's one of the ways you can know that you've really been saved and you got genuine salvation, it's because you have changed. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And there's a lot of folks sitting in the church, but they've never been made different. This sister talked about a difference. Sister Melissa, she said, God changed me on the inside. He caused her to begin to love the things she once hated and hate the things she once loved. That's a change. That's what God does in a heart and life of individual. How do you know you're saved? Well, mommy told me I was saved. Well, that's not good enough. Amen. Somebody said, well, mommy prayed for me. Mommy's prayer can't save you if you don't meet the conditions. Somebody said, well, I got baptized. Well, you can go down a dry center and come up a wet center. Somebody said, I joined the church. Joining the church doesn't save you. Somebody said, well, I read my Bible. Reading the Bible doesn't save you. Somebody said, I pray every day. Saying your prayers every day does not save you. Somebody said, well, I lead music. Leading music doesn't save you. Somebody said, I'm a preacher. Preaching doesn't save you. Somebody said, I walk the aisle. Walking the aisle in a church don't save you any more than walking the aisle in the grocery store. I went to Walmart the other day and there's a bunch of people walking the aisles, but they didn't look like they saved to me. It takes more than walking the aisle. Well, I come to the front of the church. There's no magic up here at the front of the church. Somebody said, I raised my hand. Raising your hand don't save you. You raised your hand at the ball game too, and that didn't save you either. How is it on the inside? God sees us as we really are. You know what he said in Revelation 2:9? He said, I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not. They say they're spiritual Jews, but they're not. See, God's looking over this audience. And he sees beyond my profession. He sees beyond your profession. You know what God's saying? Wheat, wheat, tear, tear, wheat, tear. God can tell the wheat from the tear. God. Sheep. Goat. Goat. Sheep. Goat. Sheep. God knows what we are. We might have the folks around us fooled, but we don't have God fooled. How is it in your heart and life? See, God knows me. No sense of me trying to put on something. God knows me. See, God looks over his side of it, he says, save, lost. He knows exactly. So there's no use for us to try to put something on that we're not. Somebody said, well, I think I'm 99% saved. To be 99% saved is to be 100% lost. You're either saved all the way or you're lost all the way. I asked you, are you trusting some false profession, some sinner's prayer, some church membership? Are you still trying to work your way to salvation? Do you have doubts tonight about your salvation? It could be God's trying to talk to you. Now, I'll tell you something else you can know if you're saved. Whether or not you love the world. The Bible says in 1 John 2:15, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You can't be saved and love the world. Some said, I don't even know what the world is. It's everything that's opposed to God. If you love the things that God hates, that's the world. And you can't love the things God hates and be a child of God. Now, that's not my ideal. That's how the Bible. A lot of folks today, they're under a false security. They think they're all right. And that's going to be the dark side of eternity, of the people that's going to be disappointed. I went to church and I did a lot of good things, but that's not enough, friend. You know what I say? If you're going to go to church, and if you're going to sing the songs, and if you're going to profess Christianity, why not go all the way and just go ahead and really sell out? Like this sister, she come to the place that she surrendered all. You know what? There's too many people today around the church of God, they haven't surrendered all. That's what it took. She went through all kinds of programs and all types of rehabilitation programs, and it didn't change anything till she surrendered all. In closing, the call of eternity will soon come. You and I are going to be in one of two places: eternity in heaven or eternity in hell. All of us. We're either going to be on the bright side of eternity or the dark side of eternity. There's no in between. So it pays to make our calling and election sure. If you choose God's way, salvation, you'll be in heaven. Otherwise, automatically hell. There's only two roads to travel, and both of these roads lead in opposite directions. One of these days, every one of us, we're going to break through the barrier between the temporal, and we're going to hit eternity just like that. And there's no do-overs. So we live every day knowing that this day has brought us one day closer to our last day on earth. Lost soul, listen to me. You need to think long and hard before you throw away a home in heaven for a short life of sin and selfishness, not wanting the Lord to rule over you, not wanting to surrender fully to God. Your freedom is short-lived. You're headed for an eternal hell. And don't forget what a frightening future is awaiting those that reject Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. An eternal punishment filled with unbelievable pain, unheard petitions, unpopular people that you shunned on earth, you will be forced to share with in eternity. You must not forget the unbearable partings you will face in the world of the damned. The saddest part about hell's no doubt you didn't have to go there. If I didn't have no choice, then I couldn't live with that torment, and you couldn't live. But the fact, when you get there, you're going to realize this was my choice. I chose this by rejecting the truth and rejecting God's invitation. I didn't have to be lost. I didn't have to come to this awful place of eternity. How is it in your heart and in your life? Every eye closed, and every saints praying, we're getting ready to pray. And I'd like for you to be honest with me. Is there anybody sitting in this section right here while nobody's looking around? Raise your hand, say, pray for me. I don't know for sure I'm saved. I don't know for sure that all is well with my soul. And I don't want to leave this world doubting it. Pray for me. Anybody right here? How about in this section right here? Is anybody? I see that hand. Are there others that would raise their hand? You can put it back down. Is anybody else? Say, I don't know for sure. I see that hand. God bless you. Anybody else in this section, slip their hand up and say, I don't know for sure. I see that hand. Thank you for being honest. Is there anyone else? Say, I don't know for sure that I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. I see that hand. Three or four hands went up right here. Anybody else over here? How about over here? Anybody ready? Say, pray for me. I don't know for sure. I want to leave here knowing for sure. Those of you who raise your hand while the saints are praying for you, I want you to get up out of your seat. Come right here and let's get this thing settled. Don't leave here with those doubts in your mind. Would you do that? Go ahead and come. Let's get this settled. You don't have to leave here hoping, thinking. Would you come and kneel right here at this altar? You can talk to God and get this thing. Thank you for stepping out and being honest. Others that raise your hand, just step right out and come on. The saints are praying for you. While nobody's looking around, that'd be a good time to come. Give your heart to God and get this thing settled about eternity. Those others raise their hand. Do you want to come right now? Just like this lady did? Thank you, Father, for helping us bring the message. We ask you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, for these precious ones that raised their hand. Lord, there's a doubt. There's uncertainty. And God, this is not a guessing game. Lord, you provide us with a no-so salvation. And Lord, I pray for those that can't look back in their life and see when this definite change took place, that they would humble themselves at this altar of prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's stand.